Luke 24:36. Now as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the presence of them and said to them, "Peace to you." So this is exactly the same account as Mark gives and John gives. So all three are harmonious with this. But those that were there, these apostles and others, were terrified and frightened and supposed that they had seen a spirit. Okay, Kaufman says about this. This is Jesus' appearance to the apostles and others, Thomas being absent. As far as this, "Peace be unto you," these were the last words Jesus had spoken before going forth to suffer crucifixion and death. But in the meanwhile, the conduct of the apostles had been such as to leave them weighted down with feelings of guilt and inadequacy. Under these circumstances, this was a shout of victory and a divine assurance that all would be well with them. There were two reactions on the part of those present. First, they were simply terrified, as any mortal would have been under the circumstances, because Jesus appeared out of thin air, and they were still of the belief that he had not resurrected. They were still not willing to believe. And so here he appears to them, and they thought he was a spirit, a ghost. But anyway, that's so they were terrified, understandably so. But then number two, the second reaction, very soon this gave way to joy, which was also mentioned by Luke here in verse 41. That we'll read in just a few moments. It is incumbent upon Jesus to win over the apostles to a complete and unfailing faith in his resurrection. After the interview reported in this paragraph and John's parallel that we read previously, there was never any wavering at all on the part of the apostles forever afterward. They passed up and down the provinces of the entire world shouting, "He is risen from the dead," sealing their testimony with blood. The history records that they all gave their lives for the cause of Christ. They were all killed because of it. And preaching the gospel that turned the world upside down. In order to counteract their terror at being in the presence of what they supposed was a spirit, Jesus did such things as would enable them ever afterward to remember that his body was real, one that they observed, handled, and recognized, with the added detail that he even ate with them, not that he needed to do any such a thing, but because they needed to see that he could. So that proves he tells them that he is flesh and blood. Well, when he ate with them, that proved that he was flesh and blood and not a ghost. Verse 38, "And Jesus said to them, 'Why are you troubled, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have.'" So he told them to handle me. Now this is Sunday night. Now, the Sunday morning, this contrasts with what he told Mary Magdalene. He said, "Do not hold to me, don't touch me, because I have not been to the Father." So, with Jesus telling these apostles to handle him, to touch him, we must necessarily infer that he has been to the Father now and back. So, sometime from that morning, he had not been to the Father, so he told Mary Magdalene, "Don't touch me." But now he's been to the Father, and so these apostles can touch him. In fact, he tells them to. Verse 40, "When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. But while they still did not believe for joy and marvel, he said to them, 'Have you any food here?'" Okay, so they were still doubting. They were still thinking that he is a spirit, a ghost. So he's going to remove that doubt by eating with them. And verse 42, so they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb, and he took it and ate in their presence. So this is what Kaufman refers to. This sealed the deal for them now. They were fully convinced that he has risen from the dead. This is his body, and he's not a ghost. He's eaten with them, and so now they will go across the entire world, spreading the gospel to every human, just as Jesus tells them here. It's not recorded by Luke, but it is by Mark. This is the occasion that he tells them to spread the gospel to every creature, every human in the entire world, and they do that. In fact, they do it in about 25 years, which is very amazing. But that's just what, with the power of God, that is what can be done by a few people. And so Kaufman finishes up this passage here with, this was the undeniable objective proof that Jesus rose from the dead. No wonder they believed it. Jesus here established the fact of his resurrection, which is the foundation that no man could lay. And about Jesus saying, see my hands and my feet, this is as near as the New Testament comes to saying that the feet of Jesus were nailed to the cross. But in conjunction with the prophecy in Psalm 22:16, the evidence is conclusive to the effect that they were indeed nailed to the cross. And about Jesus eating, the wisdom of God has concealed many things, and among them is the exact nature and quality of the post-resurrection body, either of Jesus or of ourselves in the hereafter. So God has concealed the qualities that of Jesus's post-resurrection body, and then we don't know what our post-resurrection body is going to be like either. It'll be in spiritual form. It won't be in physical form. But God has kept that concealed, is what Kaufman is saying, in God's wisdom. Perfectly evident in the account here are three things. That Jesus had the ability to appear and disappear at will. Number two, that Jesus had the ability to appear in rooms with the doors closed. And thirdly, Jesus had the ability to be recognized or unrecognized at will. The reality of the resurrection is absolutely proved by Luke's record here. So we will end here, and Lord willing, we'll pick up with verse 44, and we'll plan to finish the chapter in the book next week.